Let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A not unfamiliar passage by now, one that we have looked at often from different perspectives. It's a very rich text that gives us direction in our communion with the Lord. And today we'll read the familiar verses of verse 23 through 26, but we'll focus on just one very specific aspect of what the apostle says in verse 26. And we'll spend some time just briefly this afternoon thinking about the Lord's Supper and its relationship to the idea of renewal or revival. But let's read 1 Corinthians 11. 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The theologian Charles Hodge said in one of his famous Princeton sermons, he said, "We cannot commemorate Christ as our Savior without a renewed acknowledgement of ourselves to be his, the purchase of his blood, devoted to his service." Charles Hodge connected in this one quote the ideas of commemorating Christ as Savior and a renewed acknowledgement of ourselves to be his. Now, in verse 26 of our text, this is one of the very points that the apostle captures when he describes the Lord's Supper as a, in a sense, a continually renewed proclamation of Christ's atoning death. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It is something that is ongoing, and it is a proclamation that is to take place again and again and again. In other words, it is a commemoration of Christ as our Savior, a proclamation of that fact, but it is a renewed acknowledgement of ourselves to be his. Now, when the apostle talks about proclaiming something in this passage, what does he mean by that? And what does it mean to proclaim something at all? Certainly, it's more than just handing out information. Certainly, it's more than just the communication of some information. The word proclaim envisions and entails much more than that. The doing of that with conviction, the doing of that with purpose, intention, and belief. Proclaim is the word, the verb we always use with the gospel. We hardly ever talk about simply communicating the gospel. We talk about proclaiming the gospel, because proclaim is that word that entails conviction. It entails faith. It's not just a dispassionate discussion of certain facts, but as a proclamation. Now, in this case, when we proclaim the Lord's death at the Lord's Supper, it's not even audible. When you sit in your seat, you're not proclaiming anything in an audible way, right? It's not something that the person sitting next to you is going to hear. And yet still it's a proclamation. To proclaim something, in this case, to proclaim the Lord's death in this sacrament, it is to own the truth of his death in a fresh way. It is to renew your commitment to it. And it is to be consecrated once again to the Savior and his saving work, and to once again embrace and reclaim and renew those commitments that we have to him and the claim that he has placed upon us. It is, in short, a rededication if you will. And that dedication is attended by and comes with the promise of the renewal of His grace. So, by proclamation in this particular context, the apostle has in mind a continual reaffirmation that is to be met with, that God promises to meet with a renewal of His grace. Now, because of the imperfection of our faith, to say the least, we always have to be sensible of our need for new grace, for greater grace, for the increase of grace in life, and our need to be rededicated to Christ with greater zeal to our faith, with greater depth to it, with greater faith and greater obedience. So we have this continual need, don't we? And Paul envisions that continual need here. Do this as often as you eat of it, again and again and again, until the end of the age. That we have the continual need to proclaim the death of Christ. And again, not just to communicate it, but to reaffirm it. To rededicate ourselves to it. Again and again and again, to re-own that gospel truth of Christ dying for His people. In short, we need revival. Now, this instinct is good. The fact that we do need revival. We all ought to recognize that fact. We need to be redevoted to the Lord and revived in our faith. But that instinct can many times be misdirected. The desire to be renewed or rededicated or reconsecrated to Christ all too often takes the form of man-made pageantry in our world, or ceremony in different forms. You can think of the revival services that are often planned and advertised, take place outdoors under a big tent. Altar calls for renewal, where people at the end of a service will be invited to walk down the aisle and come down to the front of the church and make a show of their renewal or recommitment to Christ. Some people even are rebaptized because they want to have a demonstration, something tangible in their lives of, this is the point where I was renewed, I was rededicated to the service of the Lord. Some people even attempt to be rededicated or renewed or revived in their faith by even by deprivation. You can think of the Roman Catholic practice of Lent whenever they give something up. And it is through denying yourself that you find new renewal in faith. There are many different pathways where Christian people or people who claim the name of Christ can look for that kind of renewal. They sense the need for it, but they look for it by following all of these different paths. And as I said, the one thing that these diverse practices have in common, from revival services to altar calls, is that they aim for renewal with only a faint man-made imagination of how that renewal comes. Oftentimes, the assumption is that excessive display is necessary, right? You have to be singled out of a crowd. You have to do something in the sight of everyone to bring that renewal that's desired. But that renewal will not come so long as renewal is looked for in all the wrong places. And yet, you and I, and every true believer, has this need. You have the need to be renewed in your faith. We all have the need to be reconsecrated to Christ. And this, my friends, is the gracious design of the Lord's Supper. We proclaim again our faith in the risen Christ in an act of rededication, in a sense, if we may call it that, that is truly accompanied by God's promise of the increase of grace and the blessing of our faith. And so the Lord's Supper is the biblical means to attain or to seek after what is only attempted by the revival meetings and the altar calls that are held in search of renewal. In the Lord's Supper, we proclaim His death again and again. Each time we gather around this table, we proclaim His death again and again. And that is to say, not just the dispassionate communication of some information, not some bland repetition from month to month, much less in some lifeless ritual or some spiritual pageantry that's man-made. Instead, what we do by breaking this bread and lifting this cup, we proclaim, we reaffirm and re-own the all-sufficient work of Christ as the only ground of our salvation. And we re-own and reclaim once again the claims that Christ makes upon us. We are once again proclaiming our devotion to Him and our dedication to Him. And we do this not through excessive display or not some special event. We do this thoughtfully, soberly, truthfully, faithfully, in a time of self-reflection, in a time of repentance. And yet, unlike the man-made methods of revival, the Lord's Supper is not an opportunity for us to show our resolve and our efforts to put on a display of our actions and our decisions and our renewal. You don't walk down an aisle while everyone watches. You don't do an altar call while everyone takes notice. This is no display of self-effort. Rather, at the Lord's table, we come to simply receive new grace from Him. We come to receive renewal from our Savior. And the renewal of our faith is a corporate concern. It's something that concerns all of us, each one of us and all of us together. And unlike the man-made methods of revival, nothing that you do here today, this afternoon, is going to single you out from the rest of the group of people sitting around you. You're not going to have to walk down an aisle by yourself. You're not going to have to stand up and make a recommitment while everyone watches. Instead, what we'll do is each one of us, all of us, we'll do the same thing. We'll take the bread and we'll drink the cup. We'll sit together in front of this table in front of us. And we will take the sacrament together as one body because we are one body. And we as a body need to be revived and renewed in our faith in Christ. So we can thankfully reflect on the fact that the true means of renewal does not consist in some immodest public display in which only the bold will thrive and the modest will blush. Instead, we are quietly, corporately, and regularly invited by Christ to sit down at this table and to be renewed in our faith in an ordinary yet very powerful means of grace. When we proclaim the Lord's death at this table, the faithful reassertion of His ownership on our part is attended by His blessing and the strength of renewal that He gives and promises to us. Even though the proclamation is ours, the renewal is from Him, and it is all of grace. So the main point of what we are looking at today and what we are understanding today is that this sacrament is meant for our revival. And it's a shame that revival is such a hackneyed word in the evangelical world. It's a good word. It's a biblical word. And it's a need that we all have. It's a very prominent theme in the book of Psalms. And as we just sang from Psalm 85, we sang that petition, "Revive us, O Lord." And again and again and again, that petition and that need comes up in the Psalter. And why would it be such a prominent thing in the Psalter? Because the Psalter is our words. It's God's word, but it's given for us to sing. We make those words our petitions. And God is teaching us how to petition Him in the Psalter and again in the book of Psalms, we find that petition for God to revive us. We heard it in Psalm 85, "Revive us, O Lord." Psalm 138, "In the midst of trouble, you will revive me." There is the promise that the psalmist was sure of. One psalm is particularly striking, and I wanted to point this out to you today. Psalm 119, that monolithic psalm, the giant of the Psalter, 176 verses. And it has a sharp focus upon the Word of God, but that's not its only focal point. Nine times throughout that one psalm, the psalmist prays to God and asks him for revival. Nine times in that psalm, he asks that God would revive me. That is his constant request. Now, as that petition unfolds in that psalm, and as that theme unfolds, that word revive translates two different Hebrew words. One is the word shuv, which means to return. Cause me to return to you, in a sense. And the other one is that verb chaya, which means cause to live, give life, or to revive. But revive is a good way to translate both of them. That is the psalmist's request in this psalm, that repeated request. Just listen to them. Psalm 119, verse 25, "Revive me according to your word." Verse 37, "Revive me in your way." Verse 40, "Revive me in your righteousness." Verse 88, "Revive me according to your loving kindness." Verse 107, "Revive me according to your word." Verse 149, "Revive me according to your justice." Verse 154, "Revive me according to your word." Verse 156, "Revive me according to your judgments." Verse 159, "Revive me according to your loving kindness." It's obvious that the psalmist understands this to be the greatest need that he has. Revive me nine times is his prayer request in one psalm. That, my friends, is our need as well. It is just as urgent in our lives that we be revived, renewed in our faith, that it not just simply stagnate and we become very satisfied with what it is and what it has become, and very pleased with ourselves as Christians and where we are in our lives. That's a dangerous place to be. The psalmist would not allow himself to be there, and the scriptures will not allow us to be there. If we can take this cue at all from Psalm 119, this is among our greatest needs, if the greatest need of life in the life of faith, for that faith to not become stagnant. That we do not come to that point of spiritual inertia where we're just happy where we are and there's no reason to do anything about it. Here we are. We need to be revived. That is our need. And notice the pattern of this psalm as well, Psalm 119. Nine times he says, "Revive me according to." And then he always cites some attribute of God, like your loving kindness or your righteousness. Or he cites some promise of God, your word or your judgments. Revive me according to, and then an attribute of God or a promise that he's made. So he has a firm foundation on which to make this request, God's being and God's promise. So sure is he of that revival that it will come to him. So in the petition itself, revive me, that becomes, he's praying for a sovereign act to take place. It's not a self-willed thing that he's going to go in search of, but he knows that God himself must give that revival. And that prospect of revival, based on who God is and what he has promised, it is sure. So let's define revival this way, based upon what we've thought about so far. It is an ongoing need that is graciously met. Or it is a sovereign work of God and a continual need of ours that our faith be renewed. Now, in that light, we can see how the Lord's Supper answers to this very need that we have. It's a need that we have that's continual, and it's a promise of God that he will give. That is how it is a means of grace for our renewal or the revival of our faith. It is an ongoing ordinance meant to be observed until the end of this age, because until Christ comes again, we will always need our faith to be renewed and revived. And this is the very design of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we might have a continual opportunity for increase of grace. Now, the Lord is with us at all times and blesses us through all the means of grace, the preaching of the word and prayer. But here is a time, a specific time, a regular time, in which we are confronted by the need to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, and to repent. And we are confronted by the claims of Christ upon our lives, and we are called to be rededicated to Him. This is surely one aspect, at least, of proclaiming the Lord's death. We proclaim this truth again. We embrace the truth of His salvation again, and we declare our faith in Christ once again. And as we do that, we look to Him for the strengthening of our faith, the renewal of our faith, according to His promise. This is our need even now, to be revived, to be strengthened, to be renewed in faith. And this is one of God's gracious means for doing just that. When taken in true faith, and when taken in true search of revival. So, 3 points to reflect upon in conclusion. Number one, think soberly and clearly this day about your need to be revived, your need to be renewed in faith. Because the fact of the matter is, it goes for you, it goes for me, it goes for all of us here, that our faith is not what it should be. That we are weak in faith. You are weak in faith. You are not strong in faith, you are weak. And all of us can say that of ourselves. You have the need to be revived. You are not faithful as you should be. You are not devoted to Christ as you should be. We all have the need to be renewed in our faith and strengthened in it, because you are not in the place where you want to be for the rest of your life. You must grow in faith. You must grow. So first of all, reflect upon your need to be revived. But secondly, reflect on how gracious is this means of revival. This is the time and the place to proclaim Christ and His ownership of you, to re-proclaim it, to be reconsecrated to Him and to be revived in the faith that He has given to you. Now again, the Lord has appointed many ways for this to happen in our lives, and all the means of grace work together. And the Lord often works very subtly and consistently in our lives. But this is one of those milestones, if you will, that each and every time we take it, once again, we are reminded of God's work in our lives and the fact that our need to be renewed is being met by Him. So this proclamation of Christ's death is attended by His promise of renewal when it is done in faith and with a true desire to be renewed in Him. So first of all, reflect on your need to be revived. Secondly, reflect on how gracious is this means of revival. But thirdly, go from this place today and act upon the blessing that is promised at this table. Go from this place today and act upon the blessing that is promised at this table. Because counterfeit revival is always short-lived. Counterfeit revival is always short-lived. If it is man-made, if it is human-generated, if it is a fleeting thought, it's only going to last for a very short while. But a true increase of grace makes a steady show of itself in life. A steady show of itself. So, fresh resolve to follow Christ proves the sincerity of the communicant's faith and shows that renewal has indeed been given from Christ, and it is genuine. So go from this place and act upon the blessing promised at this table. Be renewed in your faith. And so, to proclaim his death, as we are called to in verse 26 of our text, it's not just speaking forth an old belief, but to reaffirm it anew, with new dedication and with new strength from on high. Just as we can take up our psalters and sing a new song, and just like many of the psalms call us to do, to sing a new song, what we do when we sing a new song is we sing a very, very old song, an ancient song, but we sing it with new faith. And so it is when we come to the Lord's table, we proclaim a very, very old truth. And maybe in terms of your life, it's a truth that you have believed for a long time. But we do that with renewed faith. It is a new proclamation of a very old truth. But may that proclamation be renewed today. And may we trust that our faith will be renewed by the one whose death we proclaim. Let's bow in prayer.